it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
957-9570. What is the standard currently for the San Francisco 49ers, Mike Tomlin?
The standard is the standard.
Thank you. Steven SF, good morning. You're on the morning roast.
Hey, how's it going, fellas? Okay. So I think what this also boils down to, as far as the expectation for this season, I don't know if it's just me, but after that 2023 Super Bowl, it almost seemed to be the final knife, kind of like what Chasky said, where it was like you get closer and closer and closer. And between the Harbaugh, I mean, all of those games always came down, those seven shots that you had at a ring. You just go, oh, well, it can't get worse or more, you know, gut-wrenching than this. And then it just reached that crescendo, which to me, I think after that last one to the Chiefs, I just go, you know, maybe it is a recalibration, but I think what that was born out of was the fact that you just didn't get that one to exhale.
Exactly.
And I don't know. That might just be
no,
for me.
I'm with you.
I mean, even going back to Harbaugh, if they win 11 or 12, I think it's just that 94 thing. I still, you're not going to not have opinions about Shanahan and stuff, but it was that you just kept waiting and you're like, well, it's that carrot that kept dangling. And at this point, at least for me, I'm looking at it differently now.
Steve, you sound like someone with some perspective. So I this is going to sound nuts to those. Like, you guys can't be cursed like the Red Sox. But there is an element of Niner fans feel, and this is what I said to Bonte coming out of Vegas. Maybe we're just never going to win another one. Like, I don't think I'm going to get one as an adult. Like, I came to that conclusion after the overtime, and maybe I was just searching and I was down and out, but it felt like we were cursed because each one gets more horrific.
Yeah, and I didn't think it could. I mean, when you go down the line, and I mean, we don't have time for that, but it's each one comes down somehow.
I'll give it to you.
Where you go, then maybe it'll finally break. And I thought that was that Super Bowl. I think this is finally it. The things were lining up where they were going to give up a drive. They get the interception by Jair Brown. Things started working, and then once they turned, I think that's when I crossed that threshold of being like, oof, maybe this is never going to happen.
Are you a Giants fan also, like a San Francisco Giants? Because I felt that way after 0-2. Like, and then they go wire to wire in 0-3, and it was like, you got to be kidding me. We lose to the Marlins again? We're never winning one. Like, that's what I felt.
Yeah, I mean, I watched the Monkey Rally. I grew up a Giants fan in New Jersey because my grandfather used to go see him at the Polo Grounds.
Oh,
so
Jesus.
I was watching that as a misplaced fan there. But yeah, I think with Shanahan, I have my gripes as well as anybody else does. But I think the problem is that it's twofold, at least for me. I do think he operates better as an OC and just really could benefit from that overriding veteran in the head coaching spot in in-game decisions. And because those are the ones that loom largest, because again, if he gets one of those Super Bowls, we're not saying the two or three that could have been gotten. If he gets one, this whole thing is flipped. And I think that's it, is that's where he doesn't really get any mercy. And until he proves otherwise, sadly, I go, that's really still going to always be his hallmark. He's one of the best coaches in the league, but that's the stain that he just hasn't been able to wipe clean.
Steve, great Thanks, call. Steve. And I want to hear from everybody. I'm just give me a second here. 2011, Kyle Williams, 1-for-11 on third down, throwing to Brett Swain. Ahmad Bradshaw fumbled that ball, and they blew that play dead. Yeah. Okay, that's just, boom, that's that game. 2012, Super Bowl. Need I say more? You're at the goal line, and Frank Gore has to sub himself out, and you don't hand him the ball. You have the best running quarterback at the time in the game. You don't run him the ball. You don't throw to Vernon. You don't throw to alley-oop Randy Moss. You're throwing to Crabtree. Are you kidding me? Okay? And obviously, all the things that happened prior to that. 2013. Ahmed Brooks, New Orleans, to determine home field advantage. We got robbed. We had to go on the road in week one of the playoffs. We should have had the bye. That game should have been, the Seattle game should have been a Candlestick. Instead, it wasn't. We had to play that extra game. Fourth quarter, we were gassed. We just fell out. They had timeouts, 23 seconds on the clock. Richard Sherman made the greatest play in Seattle sports history.
Yep.
I don't know what else to say. Like, heartbreak. 3 years in a row. Heartbreak. Pick any one of them. Then you go to 2019. You're up double digits in the fourth quarter. I just, you got to be kidding me. 2021, you're up double digits in the NFC Championship game on the road. Jaquaski Tart, Jimmy Garoppolo. He missed a George Kittle walk-in touchdown on the first possession of the game.
Yep.
2022, you lose your quarterback on like the third play of the game, and Brandon Ayuk was wide open. Now, I don't even know if they were going to win that game. That was so early, I don't even know. That one you could put to the side, but it's devastating you lost your third-string quarterback as Jimmy Garoppolo is on the sideline walking perfectly in Jordans saying, I can't suit up, and I got to watch Josh Johnson get folded in between a bunch of giant refrigerators and looking like a folding chair and just go down. And then, obviously, losing in the Super Bowl in the overtime, not knowing the rules, fourth and two, can't stop Mahomes, don't go for it on fourth down, taking the ball first. I mean, just a thousand things. Missing an extra kick, an extra point kick. Like, there's a thousand ways they lost a game. Joe, it gets more horrific every single time his team loses.
I know.
It's just... And when I say, like, the Niners conceivably could have 10 Super Bowls, people are like, that's insane. No, like... A couple of bounces. And I always think about this. Had the Giants not won in 2010, I don't think they win in 2012. I certainly don't think they win in 2014 with Bumgarner. So, like, everybody, oh, Bumgarner Game 7 was amazing. If you don't win in 2010, I don't think you break the seal and win all these other ones. If Mahomes and Reed don't win that first one against Kyle, how does football history change? Now they've been in whatever, six straight Super Bowls, and they've won a bunch, and they've banked some, and now everybody views Mahomes as one of the GOATs of all time. He's also been blown out in two Super Bowls.
Yeah.
You know? And it's just, you know how hard it is for Niner fans to get this close and be the bridesmaid year after year after year? Not like once. It's one thing to lose once horrifically. They've lost seven different times at the precipice of a championship. And any one of those, at least six of the seven, I can make an argument they should have won it. I'll even throw the UCLA one out the window. Six other times they could have won it all. Six other times. It is hard. And this is where, like, I do feel for Shanahan. Bosa wraps up Mahomes on fourth and two. You know, Burford blocks and they hit Ayuk for six. And you still got to stop Mahomes. Who knows? You know the rules, for Christ's sake. You know, Quan Alexander intercepts Patrick Mahomes one or two plays before that third and 15. You know, like, it just... The existence of a Niner fan, we've been so good, yet the knife getting twisted like Saving Private Ryan in that room where you're like, no, and just twisting and you're like, shh. We get murfed out every time at the end.
You're Private Upham just watching it happen in the background. We go in there. It's the sports version of Blue Balls. What can I tell you? You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM, HD1 San Francisco, and Odyssey Sports Station in the home of the Golden State Warriors and Valkyries, always live on the Free Odyssey app. Coming to you live from the Live Among Studios. We're talking about the standard. And the standard for the San Francisco 49ers, has it shifted at all under Kyle Shanahan within these last 30 years? Still searching for that next Lombardi trophy.
Would you have rather have loved and lost or to never have loved at all? There are times...
You've seen them love. You've seen them make sweet love. You've seen them win titles.
Carter
never has.
Yeah, but like...
Sam never has.
I always say this to people, like, when the Warriors were awful, being a Warrior fan's the worst and it's awful. Actually, it was quite joyful. I mean, it was horrific, but it was way more joyful. I'll tell you this, you know what's more miserable? Being a Niner fan and losing at the end is more miserable than what the Warriors went through in the 90s and the 00s. It is. Being irrelevant is one thing. Like, being emotionally invested and then losing at the very end and having the wedding ring ripped from your hand and then being left at the altar is way more difficult to come to grips with.
Oh, absolutely. We were talking about it earlier. That's why some Giants fans are not really wanting to jump all in back on the team because they don't want to get their hearts broken.
Exactly.
So they're saying, I'm not really buying in.
See, I kind of disagree with that. I'd rather have, like, ups and downs and wins and losses than just never have an up ever. Like,
no, but I'm giving you one or the other. No middle ground. It's been more difficult. I live both existences. It's been more difficult to be a Niner fan, to get my hopes up every year and lose at the very, 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 very end than it was when I was a Warrior. And I loved the Warriors back then, and it pained me every time. Hey, we had the draft. Dude, the draft was like my finals back then.
It was Christmas.
All-star, but there's something to be said about at least having relevance. Like, when your team is irrelevant, it's like pointless to even root for them at that point. You're doing that. You're just waiting for the draft and then knowing that nothing's going to happen.
Yeah, but I would have these glimmers of hope, like, maybe Gilbert Arenas could be an all-star. Maybe we'll get an all-star. It was so... Oh, God.
I know. Let's squeeze in Kay Bueno before we get to Matt Lively, KPIX, Valkyries pre- and post-game host, and obviously does the fifth quarter with Vern Glenn and Lo Neal. Get his thoughts on the Niners' upcoming matchup against the Saints and the Valkyries getting ready for the playoffs. Kay Bueno, what's the standard for the 49ers right now?
You know, I think, first of all, thanks for taking my call this morning, guys. I think if Dwayne Kuiper was our announcer, it would just have to be Niners playoff football torture.
Exactly.
Like that's what he'd be saying.
It's pretty good.
But I mean, really, is like the caller earlier pretty much described it perfectly. It's like, oh my God, man, is this maybe this is just it? This is what we're gonna be left with. Like this, maybe we've pretty much left it all back. The best times are behind us, and we've gotten so close. It has been so torturous just seeing, not just losing those big games that you just broke down, but just the way we've lost them. It's been so gut-wrenching. It's like Mortal Kombat. Like, Kano just ripped my heart out and just held it in his hand in front of me. Like, it's been horrible to take that. Fatality. Yeah, man. It's like, that's the feeling it's been. But also, I think, though, the standard, the realistic standard, though, for us, yeah, it's not to be like Super Bowl or bust. Quest for six, let's put that in, let's archive that for
Thank
the time
you.
Being. Okay, let's put that back in the crest. Because the reality is, I think the expectation, or the standard, the standard should be to be competing for a championship. Not so much say, yeah, Super Bowl or bust, but being in the upper echelon of NFL teams. That's been the standard, I think, for us. Now, I know, you know, we had off a couple seasons, but generally, where Shanahan and Lynch have brought the team, the organization, I should say, back, has been at the standard of being the upper echelon of teams in the NFL. And I think that's the standard that's been set. That's the standard that we uphold this team to. And not just the Super Bowl, but let's compete for a championship. Let's get there, and then let's, you know, see if we can get over the hill finally. So it's kind of like alluding to like a 90s Bills fan, you know?
It is.
Thanks, Kay Bueno. We're up against it. We got Matt Lively, KPIX, on the other side, but it's a great conversation. We'll continue to have a lot of Matt Lively, what he thinks the standard currently is with the San Francisco 49ers. Plus, we're talking about all these, like, the championship blue balls, for lack of a better term. What if the Valkyries, as an expansion team, win it all in their first year? Seriously, how crazy would that be?
That's what the Marlins did to the Giants and the Arizona Diamondbacks. I remember both those teams won championships and it was like, oh, so this is just going to walk into the league and win it all, huh?
Well, that's like what the Vegas Golden Knights almost did in their first year.
Exactly, but they ended up in their first couple years of inception. They ended up winning it all, and Sharks fans are over here being like, are you freaking serious?
Punch in air.
Exactly. We'll talk to Matt Lively on the other side, and it's going to be brought to you by Life Source Waters.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Systems. And also the fifth quarter with Vern Glenn and Lo Neal shortly. We'll also be talking some Valkyries as they had a tough loss yesterday as they are ramping up, Joe. One more game before the start of the playoffs, and seeding is still going on there, and we'll see where the Valkyries fall. Right now, you're looking at either the Atlanta Dream or the Las Vegas Aces. I'd rather have the Aces, and I wonder if Matt Lively agrees. He'll join us shortly, but we're talking about the standard right now, and it's funny, we're talking about the standard with the 49ers in respect to Kyle Shanahan. And what if the Valkyries won it all in their first year as an expansion franchise? Is that how fans are going to be viewing it the rest of the way? You better win a title every single year. You guys are an expansion team and they won it. I don't want to hear anything, right? Talk about setting the bar high. Pretty insane. We got him? We got him? All right. So there we go. I didn't even have a... You talk, Joe, as we just come back.
It's okay.
It's all right. Well, we got hosts here at the station to say pros before phones, so...
Oh, they must be a little insecure on their touches.
Matt Lively joining us on the River Islands guest line, KPIX, and obviously the Valkyries pre and post.
Is that a guru line?
What? No, I think that's a Dan Dibley line, pros before phones. Used to be part of a three-man weave there in the morning show. Matt, good morning. Joe Spadoni alongside Joe Shasky. You know, Matt, let me ask you. You didn't grow up a San Francisco 49ers fan, correct?
That's correct. I'm from South Florida. Couldn't be further away, honestly.
Exactly. So perfect person to ask. What do you think the standard should be within the San Francisco 49ers fan base and how they view this team right now?
It's funny. Growing up, the Niners stunk. I grew up in the early 2000s. I mean, I was born in 97, so I missed the Super Bowl window. This team stunk. I honestly wasn't really familiar with the 49ers franchise. And, I mean, what? You got Singletary as your coach. I probably couldn't name most of the coaches that came before Harbaugh. And so it's funny to me now that this expectation is, like, right here. And you're joking about the Valkyries. I think they already might have overdone it with what the expectations are going to be in the future, because it's like, oh, wait, if you don't make the playoffs moving forward, what the heck was that all about?
You were born in 97? That makes me sad.
Oh, sorry, Shasky. Sorry, Shasky.
I graduated eighth grade and was in high school in 97. Jeez Louise.
I was born in 93. You act like I'm a senior citizen over here.
No, you guys are not. No, you guys are all young and just don't know what life has ahead of you as you age precipitously every single day after 30. So then what should the expectations be for the Niners this year?
I think they should be high. When you look at the schedule, it's easy. When you look, I mean, we made such a big deal about all the guys that they let go this offseason, but give me a break. Look at how many all pros are on this team. You okay, George Kittle's on IR. You still have Christian McCaffrey. You still have Fred Warner. You still have Nick Bosa. You still have D'Amador Lenore. Most teams are lucky to have one all pro player. The Niners have more than five.
It's pretty incredible. And you mentioned Christian McCaffrey right there, Matt. How are you viewing him going forward? Because that first game, I think there were a lot of Niner fans, after the reports came out, limited in practice, there's a calf issue. Obviously, the guy dealt with bilateral Achilles tendonitis last year. So he had 22 carries and 9 receptions. Are you expecting a similar workload from CMC this Sunday in New Orleans?
Yeah, I don't think it's going to change much unless the Niners are up so big in the second half, potentially without Brock Purdy. I don't know if that's going to be the case, that Kyle Shanahan, you know, forces him and restrains him to the bench. But I've heard for the last 3 seasons, it's impossible to take Christian McCaffrey out of the game. The coaches can't get Christian McCaffrey out of the game. And honestly, I know when you look at his final line, it seems like a lot. Brian Robinson was changing with him more often than I thought he was going to be. There was a span where 9 of 10 plays were on the ground, 9 rush plays with one pass mixed in there, which happened to go to McCaffrey. But Brian Robinson ran 3 or 4 of those. So had you told me before that game that they were going to be mixing in and out, I wouldn't have believed you. So yeah, the final stat line probably looks like a lot, but that's because they needed Christian McCaffrey until the last second of that game. There wasn't an offensive snap where he wasn't needed on the field because of how it went. But I was actually impressed with how much they used Brian Robinson Jr., and I think that's going to be the trend moving forward.
You've been around practice a lot more than we have because we're usually on air in the morning, so you might have a better feel for this. If Mac Jones has to play on Sunday, what do you anticipate him looking like behind this offensive line?
It's funny. During training camp, you look at some of the tweets and it was, you know, of course they're not going to make Mac Jones the QB1, but it felt like some people were like, God, this is the greatest backup quarterback in NFL history. Why is this guy not starting on a team? Mac Jones looks good. Don't get me wrong, but he did play in the preseason. He threw a couple of bad picks. There's a reason Mac Jones is no longer the starter in New England. He didn't last or didn't get a starting job after last season, where he got to start a lot of games with the Jacksonville Jaguars. Mac Jones is a really good backup quarterback right now. Who's to say that could change under Kyle Shanahan in 2 years? But am I going to go out there and say, oh, yeah, he's going to outplay Brock? No. I think they have an easy game against the New Orleans Saints, who I can name, 10 players on their team. So I think that even if you send Mac Jones out there, the Niners could win that game. But I'm not going to go like, oh, you're going to be blown away. Teams are going to be calling and trying to trade for Mac Jones to be their starter after week two. I don't see that happening.
All right, so you've been tapped in. I have this thing called FanWidth. At any given time, there's only so much dedication I can give to any one sport, team, whatever. Like, there's only so much I can consume. But my son and I have been watching almost every single Valkyrie game. I have it on in the living room. He's using the little dunk hoop or he's hitting off the tee and we're watching. But I'm not as up to it when it comes to the WNBA and all the other teams. I watch my team, the Valkyries. I've been watching on KPIX. You guys have been doing a great job broadcasting the games. I mean, how are you feeling about their playoff chances and who do you want them to match up against here in terms of, like, how far do you think they could go? I have a hard time having a good feel for it because I'm such a novice watcher.
Yeah, last night was not good. I'm actually still in Seattle. I'm in my Seattle hotel room. I've been here for what feels like a week, and then I'm going to go with the team to Minnesota for their game on Thursday. Here's the breakdown of it. They went into the fourth last night with an 8-point lead. Had they won that game, they would have clinched the sixth seed. So now you're looking at either Las Vegas or Atlanta, two teams that they have beat during the regular season. Because they lost, if they go to Minnesota on Thursday and lose to the Lynx, a team that they've yet to beat, they get the eighth seed. And that means that in the playoffs, they will stay in Minnesota. They will play the Minnesota Lynx, the best team in the WNBA, by a wide margin in a team that they've yet to be able to crack. So everything comes down to Thursday. I mean, we go back to last week and they clinched the playoff spot and everyone's really high on this team, as they should be. But losing to the Lynx on Saturday, losing the game that they lost last night when it looked like they had it, 8-point lead in the fourth, and even led into the final minute. They needed to close that game out. They didn't. And so now, if they have a matchup against the Lynx, I have a hard time seeing a path to the second round.
Do the Lynx have anything to play for? Will they maybe do the NBA load manager thing? Look, I'm asking out loud. I don't know.
No, you're totally right. I mean, they've got the one seed locked up. It's not out of the question to think that maybe they want to give Nafisa Collier a night off. However, they're probably looking at the seeding as well, and I have no doubt that the Lynx have a preference of who they want to play in round one. And if that team is the Valkyries, who they've beat in three regular season games up to this point, why wouldn't you play your starters? Why wouldn't you give yourselves the best shot to face that team again come Sunday?
Well, it's a great point. We're talking to Matt Lively, KPIX, Valkyries pre and post game in the fifth quarter with Vern Glenn and our boy Lorenzo Neal. And I was making the point, which sounds insane, I'd actually kind of rather face the Aces, which, again, they've won 15 in a row. So they're due for a loss eventually, Matt. But I was at the game a couple weeks ago where they played the Atlanta Dream at Ballhalla. And the size factor with Brittany Griner and some of those other centers that they had gave me major concerns in a potential series. So I'd take my chances with the shorter flight going to Las Vegas, potentially going up against Aja Wilson and co. Does that sound insane?
No, it doesn't sound insane. It's not. There's no team you really prefer, like out of those two, right? They're both really tough opponents. The Dream, the size has been an issue when facing Atlanta this year. They have beat Atlanta, though. They know how to beat Atlanta. They know how to beat Vegas as well. That if you go back to the very beginning of the season, it was a Saturday game at Ballhalla on ESPN, and the Valkyries blew out Las Vegas. And they're like, oh, whoa, this team might be legit. Since then, they've had a couple really close battles. You're going to see high-scoring games if they take on the Aces. The defenses seem to, like, disappear when that happens. But the other thing that you look at is Natalie Nicasse knows the Aces. She knows Becky Hammon really well. And so I do actually think it might be a better matchup, despite them being so hot right now, to take on a team like Vegas, where you're not having to travel all the way to Atlanta. That's the other big thing we have to think about here. There's a lot of injuries on this Valkyrie squad right now. You don't want to be on a plane going to Atlanta in another three time zones away for two games. That doesn't sound attractive.
Matt Lively, KPIX, last one here for you. What is more likely? the Valkyries win it all in year one, or the Giants find a way to get into the wild card and make the playoffs. I'm talking about the San Francisco Giants. If you were to take, let's just say, $5,000, I give you $5,000, what are you putting it on?
Well, one, it's really dangerous because if the Valkyries do play Vegas, I might actually just walk over to the sports book and put that $5,000 somewhere. Correct me here. They're two games out of the final wild card spot, correct?
Yeah, but it's technically three because they don't have the tiebreaker.
Yeah.
I'm still going to go San Francisco, not because I don't believe in the Valkyries, but I am just in absolute shock of what the Giants have done over the last two, 3 weeks. I had written this team off. Like, they were dead in my mind. As I watched Elliot Ramos make like the 30th error in left field a couple weeks ago, I was like, there's no way this team is going to the postseason, blow it up, maybe look at a new manager for next year. They have proved me wrong. I want to go on record. They have proved me wrong. And to find the offense that the way they have, Willy Adames is going to hit 30 home runs. I've been really impressed. So I would say, they could sneak in. There's no doubt.
Hey, Matt. Great stuff. Really appreciate your time this morning. You've been so good on the Valkyries all season long as they're getting back to the playoffs. I should say getting back. They're going to the playoffs for the first time ever in their franchise's history.
So they're basically sixth or eighth seed. Seventh isn't really an option?
That's correct. It's six or eight. Okay. Nothing else.
All right, let's do it.
Let's do it. Let's just stay out of the eighth.
Go
Thanks,
Valks.
Matt. That's Matt Lively, KPIX, Valkyries pre and post game, and also the fifth quarter with Vern Glenn and our guy Lorenzo Neal.
When's that Minnesota game against the Lynx?
Minnesota
that Thursday game? Night.
Thursday night football, baby.
I think I'm going to wear my Valkyries jersey tomorrow to the show.
Let's do it. Let's go.
I think I'm going to wear my Valks jersey.
I'll be
Minnesota.
The
do we want to win that game? What do we want to do? Do we want to be the sixth or the eighth seed?
Sixth. I don't want it to go that they're although we could have a We Believe type of run with the Valkyries if we're taking out the top dog, the Minnesota defending champs.
Are we going to get a Baron Davis like dunk from somebody in Kirilenko's face?
Yeah, Veronica Burton just all of a sudden dunks on the entire state of Minnesota. Is A-Rod still an owner of that team? Alex Rodriguez? He is?
I love A-Rod.
A-Rod and Joe Lacob courtside together?
Greatest shortstop ever.
He's the owner
because he's got the Timberwolves obviously too. So we got...
Just gets dunked on by the Valks. Oh, that would be
so
awesome. Way,
so you got either Alex Rodriguez courtside or if they play the Aces, you know who part owner of the Aces is?
It's Mark Davis.
Well, no, he is the owner. Part owner is, though, Tom Brady. He'll also be over there. So you got TB12, Mark Davis, and Joe Lacob hanging out? You want to be part of that crew? Oh, my God, the stories that would be told. Well, I love that question you asked, Matt, though. Like, what's, like, more realistic, or, like, what do you think would happen more? You know, a championship with the Valkyries or the Giants make the playoffs? I'll throw that to the people, 888-957-9570. What are you banking on more? I'll ask you. What do you think? If you have to put money down on one.
It's so hard to win a title in your first ever season in any sport. Like, as an expansion team,
it's interesting because it's
so difficult. Well, even if there's only, whatever, 13 teams in the league, it's very difficult.
Well, how they do the seeding, right? They do best of three first round of the WNBA playoffs. Second round, the semifinals, is best of five. And then does it go best of seven or does it stay best of five? We'll get that. Before that, we got to go to our guy, though. I'm surprised you didn't call in yesterday when Bonte was in studio. It's Brian in Palo Alto wants to join in the conversation.
Oh,
Brian, I know he's been locked in on Valkyries basketball, but he wants to talk kickers, I think, this morning.
Kicker watch.
One more time.
Give it to me.
Come on. Do we have the...
Brian in Palo Alto.
Yeah, before we go to him, we have to hit the open because it's not going away. Although Eddie Pinheiro...
Oh, wait. Brian in Palo Alto has his own open?
Kicker watch.
Jacob Moody.
It sucks, situationally. You just got to move forward and make the next kick.
The standard is the standard.
And the standard is we missed 27-yard chip shots.
Brian, good morning.
Kyle, you got to love Kyle. It's like reading a book you've read five times before. So you know exactly how it's going to play out. And, I predicted week two for Moody, but obviously he made it through 1 week. Everybody knew this is where it was going except Kyle, apparently. So, and if John Lynch thought it was going to work out too, and then John Lynch has got some serious things wrong as well. But like I've said, Kyle's flaws are out there and they're transparent and they are unfailing. Anyways,
do you think he reminds you like honestly? Because I brought this up many times. I know you know who this guy is. Don Nelson. Don't they share a lot of the same qualities? Like they can't get out of their own way. They're very smart and they're the first to let you know it. But they also have very specific flaws.
Yeah, well, Nelson's obviously was that he didn't believe in playing defense. but yeah, I think pretty similar, somewhat similar. Kyle's more like, oh, what? You're going to tell me that I can't do something? Well, I'm going to do it, and then I'm going to double and triple down on it. Almost just because you said cut Jake Moody, I'm going to continue to keep this guy around just because I'm the smartest guy in the room, something like that. I don't know what it is, but.
Hey, Brian,
very bizarre.
Are you back in on the Giants, Brian? You back in? They reel you back in?
I'm back in.
Yo! Yeah. He's back, baby!
Completely bailed out for several months, and I'll jump. I'm basically a Giants front runner now. Like, it's sad. I used to be a diehard, you know, going to Candlestick games in, you know,
hey, you
August and 30-degree weather, but, like, I'm a front runner now, so
you're not the only one.
If they're good and they have a chance with the wild card, I'll lean in.
I mean, Brian, you're not the only one. I mean, Bonte's the biggest Giants front runner of them all. I mean, is he not? The way he's talking and tweeting about him has been a character pivot.
Well, he's a front runner. He's a Niner front runner, a Warrior front runner too.
Oh, that's not fair. I love you, B.
Kaminga. When's he coming?
Oh, Kaminga.
When are we getting Kaminga, Brian? Kaminga. Where's he at?
Oh, you know what? God bless Jonathan Kaminga. Held up an entire offseason. That's okay.
Brian,
you want to know the saddest sentence right now in Bay Area sports is Al Horford is waiting on Jonathan Kaminga to accept the qualifying offer, and so is DeAnthony Melton.
And Gary Payton, I guess.
And Gary Payton. I mean, what a sad sentence.
And Melton.
Yeah, all three. I
said that.
You said that. Way to be locked in.
Sorry.
Brian. It's okay.
It's all right.
We're talking kicker. Might as well go back to the kicker.
He said, I'm a bandwagon Giants. And I had to sideswipe Bonte. I love you, buddy. But he won last night. He's 7-16 on the broadcast.
And he's coming back, baby. That's like Jake Moody from the field yesterday or last year. We got Eddie Pinheiro now down in the red and gold. And who is this new kicker? Well, he was kind of a baller for the Carolina Panthers, but they wanted to get rid of him because they brought in a new regime. It wasn't Dave Canales' guy. It's all very strange. I mean, if he's making kicks for you, why get rid of this guy? But we had Joe Person on. Who's Joe Person? He covers the Carolina Panthers for The Athletic, joined us earlier. And this is what he had to say about why Eddie Pinheiro, the now 49ers kicker, was let go.
He got here in 22. That was like two or three head coaches ago and a different GM ago. And so I think Dave Canales and his special team staff in particular, you know, Eddie wasn't really their guy. And I think they were fine with him. And obviously they liked his accuracy. They did not really trust Eddie's leg strength. Pinheiro is a guy, like, if they were down there, you know, just past midfield and looking at like a 55-yarder versus punting for field position, they almost invariably punted, you know, unless the game was on the line.
And then, this is what Joe's talking about, Joe Person, that is, 50 or below, he's nails.
He's pretty money from like 49 in.
Nice.
It's just this game has changed so much, as you guys know, and we've got guys banging like 64-yarders way through the, yeah, it's just gotten to be like every other position, bigger, stronger, faster. I like Eddie Pinheiro. I thought he's pretty mild, mellow kind of dude. I never felt like the lights were too bright for him. Now the lights in San Francisco are a little brighter than in Charlotte, especially where these two franchises are currently. But I'm glad to see him get another shot here.
Joe Person. Hey, I'm all in on Eddie Pinheiro. Why not? I mean, that's literally all you need. Money from 49 or below, great. Now, Kyle, this is on him. Don't you be attempting anything 50 or above. Can't be doing that. Go for it if you need to, or punt it away.
How bad? Okay, like, for a minute, we have to explore this. I want to get into the Warriors at some point. This Josh Giddey contract, I mean, wow. I know, I don't, like, you brought up Kaminga, that's why I thought when I saw that, I mean, maybe Kaminga will sign an extension, maybe we're flipping him. But anyway, put that to the side.
4 years, $100 million.
It's insane.
Oh my God.
I thought they were trading him.
Four years, $100 million.
I know. And Kuminga apparently said no to a $30 million a year. It's just...
Allegedly.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
But continue on Eddie Pinheiro.
No, I was more on Jake Moody. I've been following sports my whole life. And I remember, like, there are certain guys that this region hates and wants to see ran out of town. I saw the amount of celebration and just destroying of the kid. I'm talking about Jake Moody. It was almost like it felt a little inhumane, the way that people were like celebrating him taking a hike. And I know we're having fun and it's sports and I'm not trying to take it too serious, but like, he is a kid. You could say, Joe, he's made millions. All right. I'm not going to deny that. But to me, anybody under about 25, 26, 27, you're still a kid to me. Like, to me, you know, like, that doesn't mean that you can't do things that are adult-like and, you know, represent the country abroad or do something horrific and land yourself into jail or prison.
Just can't rent a car.
But Joe, he's still a kid, okay? And he still has a family and all that. Like,
he's got a family.
No, I felt bad for him, though. On some level, yeah. The amount of memes where people were, like, dancing on the kid's low point in his career. And I get it. It's pro sports. It's all fodder. I understand that. But some of it made me a little uncomfortable seeing people celebrate. Jake, look, he had to go. I'm not saying that he should have stayed. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying the dancing on the grave of the kid, you know, metaphorically, was just... It was a little much. And specifically from people who call themselves media members doing videos of dancing and stuff, like, yeah, he's gone. And like, come on, man. Come on. That's
Moody
all I'm saying.
Is duty.
Exactly. I just feel like sometimes we take it a little too far. Now, the anonymous accounts that run like different, you know, social medias on IG and stuff, like, they're going to have fun with it. They're going to run with it and everyone's going to repost it. Laugh, laugh, laugh. Okay, whatever. But like, if you're a member of the media and you're front facing and you're over here dancing and doing videos and retweeting certain things that are really slanderous to the individual, he is a 23, 24 year old young man.
He's 25.
We did this to Trey Lance. We've done this to other. Yeah. It did to Jordan Poole. It's not right.
Well, you hope these.
I'm just saying, Joe, it's not right. It makes me uncomfortable.
That's fine.
Did he stink at his job? Yes.
Yeah. It comes with the territory being a kicker. He knows that. And you know what? These guys that grow up, this next generation that grew up in the social media age that are very conscious, I hope they have the wherewithal to just, you know, check out from social media for a while. That's what I'm doing. Out of sight, out of mind. I don't need that. Hell. You know, we get our fair share of criticisms daily, whether it's on the Boxer and Gerson Work Injury Attorneys text line, the YouTube chat, we get private DMs. Mm-hmm. I get told how I fan as a person. I'm not allowed to be a fan of certain things. I get that on the daily. But, so I can only imagine what he's going through. And just put the phone down. But look, get out of there.
For Joe Fan.
I hope he's going to Cancun or something relaxing.
For like Joe Fan, Bill Fan, you know, Mary Fan, like, yeah, you can have a little fun with it. I get that. I'm talking about like respected members of the media.
Oh, yeah.
Come on.
Well, then you're not a respected member if you're going out of your way to say that. Like,
now, he was not good at his job and he had to go. And I get it. And it makes a lot of sense. Same way with Trey Lance. Like, he was not good enough to stay. No. He had to go. I get all that. But again, I draw the line on there were just some people putting some things out yesterday that I thought was a little uncomfortable.
We got a new kicker in San Francisco, Eddie Pinheiro. David in San Jose wants to talk about the Moody release and the addition of the new kicker. What's up, David?
Hey, Shasky, Evan, you guys hear me okay?
Yeah.
Did he say Evan?
All right, check this out. Oh, that's not my bad. JoJo. Hey, not Evan.
It's all good.
It's okay. Evan Brandy, Mark Giddens, Joe Spadoni, Joe Lubman, Sam Lubman.
Sam Hagan.
There you go.
You know, you've seen one, you've seen them all.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, just those whites, you know.
So check this out. Yesterday, my brothers actually got married out in San Francisco, City Hall, you know, the whole beautiful, the whole shebang.
Nice.
But on the way up there, about 9:45, 10 o'clock, we get a message that Moody has been released. So So we actually didn't know which one we were more excited for, my brother getting married or Moody getting released. And his wedding will forever be known as the day that Moody got released. And so, Shasky, I hear you. Yeah, that's called having a heart. Okay, we all have one of those. But at the end of the day, he had to go. Not only did he had to go last year. And so we should not be holding our breath when we're kicking extra points or field goals under 30 yards, you know. And so let's go to our new kicker, the Papa Giorgio, Eddie Pinetti. I don't know his name, and I'm not really sure why.
Eddie Pinheiro.
Because the guy was...
Eddie Pinheiro.
Yeah, Eddie Pinetti.
Yeah.
So we're gonna rock with him. He's got the third best average in the NFL right now. So, I don't know why he was on the street, but the way you guys just described him, sounds like we're going back to Robbie Gould status, where almost automatic under 45 yards, and then after that, it is what it is. But I love it for Shanahan, because now that he doesn't have a kicker with a big leg, I think he's forced to be more aggressive in those third and short, fourth down situations once we cross the 50. So I'm super excited about it. I feel for Moody. You know, I hope he gets his swing back or his kick back, but it was all mental with him, man, and he just lost it. So we can't lose games because of a kicker, though. So I appreciate you guys.
Totally agree.
My call,
but do me a favor. Do me a favor. Don't remember your brother's wedding as the day Moody got released. Come on.
No, I can't blame the Niners, Shasky. I mean, they were the ones that waited all the way this time. You know what I mean? Like, they could have done it before the season started. But, yeah, I mean, it will forever go down in history as the day Moody got released. We went to City Hall, went to Momo's Cafe, kind of full circle.
Nice.
Got a little bit of the Giants action in. And so, yeah, it was overall a great day, man.
Nice.
Yeah,
congratulations to your brother.
For the kicker.
There you go. That's David in San Jose. And it's not Eddie Pinetti. It's Eddie Pinheiro. Get his name right.
You want story time? We might need a story time bed for me at some point. Story time. We're talking about, like, you know, life stuff happens, and you're doing something else sports related. I've got many
story
of these.
Story time? Do I have to, like, get a little makeshift bed in here and lay
down?
That's
what I'm saying. Like, I think we need story time.
Is the Princess Bride with the grandpa talking to the sick kid the whole time?
So my dad famously broke his leg playing basketball up the Russian River.
Jesus.
Yeah, and at the time when my mom had me, he had a broken leg. Okay. And so his leg was all casted up or whatever. And we had this big family party over this last weekend. And I've heard the same story that I've heard 700 times from 700 of my family members. And as the Niners are playing the New Orleans Saints this weekend, story tells it that my mom was giving birth to me in the hospital. And my dad demanded from all the nurses that they roll in the television so he could watch Niners Saints. I'm not making this up. Demanded. Then was fighting with the nurses with a broken leg as he's like laying down in a wheelchair or whatever, that you got to get the cords just right so that the game can come on. Because this is back in the tube era where you had to mess with the little bunny ears on the back of the TV.
Yeah.
And as they were delivering me, he was screaming and yelling about the Niner game. True story.
I believe all of that.
And you met my pops. You remember?
That's why I believe all of that.
You can look this up, Sam or Carter. Tulane football, Benny was born, what, 2019, September 18th. All right. The day after that, so September 19th, look this up. Tulane football was in a game, and it was like a monsoon, and they were playing against, I think, Navy. Again, why else would I know that? September 19th. 2019, the day after young Benjamin was born, I was just holding him, and I just remember that moment.
It's crazy, right?
I had my first baby, and we're watching a game, and it's Tulane versus Navy. Could not be more, so, all due respect to Steiny and his daughter that goes there, could not be more obscure, but I'll always remember that. Tulane football, why? I do, and then I'll never forget that. So there you go, Tulane football. There you go. And get on it if I have Boxer and Gerson working through your text line. Whatever. In the meantime, that leads us, Carter, to Fast Five.
It's time for the Xfinity Fast Five. Your last chance to get in on the morning roast. Brought to you by Xfinity. Supercharge your home with supersonic Wi-Fi. Unbeatable internet. Only from Xfinity.
Boom. Found it right here. September 19th. Oh, no, it's 2020. Never mind. It was Houston. I was close, though. September 19th. All right. Tulane versus Houston. Tulane won 38-31.
That's not your final thought. Your final thought is you're mad at the NBA.
coming. Look at this. Champ Charania, ESPN, as we were in a break, the NBA will implement a new change for the 2025-2026 season. Unsuccessful end-of-period heaves will now be recorded as a missed field goal attempt for the team, not the individual player. Those long heaves will no longer impact an individual player's percentages. We are so damn soft as a society, caving into the players that aren't team players, by the way, because they are more concerned about their own individual stats, that they won't even attempt a shot that will help out their team towards the end of a quarter or half. We are caving into that. That's what we're doing. That's why the NBA is where it's at right now, because we're caving into nonsense like this. What a joke. That's my final thought.
And my final thought is pretty straightforward. I referenced the Josh Giddey thing, and I wanted to give some Warrior fans just a little something. What's JK doing? Doug, where are you going? You're not going nowhere. No one's trading you. Accept the qualifying offer or accept the deal, the 1 or 2 year deal, whatever it is, a 2 year deal with the last year's an option, whatever it is. Dude, there aren't any options. It's September 10th. Jonathan, your agent, and everyone, he wants optionality. He wants this. Dog, these are the options. It's 1, 2, or 3. That's it. There are no secret bidders. No one's coming flying in with the $100 million Giddey deal. It's like when I talk to my wife, like, what do you want for dinner? I don't know what I want for dinner. Well, do you want to go to Westlake Joe's? No, I don't want to go to Westlake Joe's. Well, do you want to go to Atlanta? I don't want to go to Atlanta's. All right, do you want to get burgers? I don't want to get this. Those are the three options we always go to. You want to go to Chinese food? Like, there's only a handful of places we can go to. Pick one of them. I don't care. We end up getting pizza every single time.
Kuminga price.
Kuminga. The pizza is the qualifying offer. You're getting the pizza. You don't like it? Dems the breaks. Yeah. Mom's not cooking a second meal.
I could go for some pizza right now. Sounds great.
No, like, honestly, like, I've been defending Kuminga forever. Dude, it's September 10th. You only have so many options. Just like, what are you doing? You're holding everything up. It's ridiculous. Now it's ridiculous.
No Giddey, right, Sam?
Oh, you want to talk about no options. The Giants really have only one option. That's just keep winning. Keep winning these baseball games. Get a sweep today, and oh, man, it's going to be a big one this weekend against the Dodgers. And, yeah, Mets, man, just keep the New York Mets. Just, you know, keep doing your thing. Every Mets loss makes it a little bit easier for the Giants. And, oh, man, it's going to be nerve-wracking to watch down the stretch. And this is why we love baseball.
You got Cotta.
Yeah, mine was yours, Spadoni, but you took it, so that's fine.
Sorry.
No, it's okay. My final thought is the NBA needs to add back all those heaves for Steph Curry. You know, like I'm
done. What was that? What was
that? A goat?
Yeah, it's a goat. He's the goat.
I actually kind of like that.
So that's why he was pulling these goat noises back
whenever
here.
Whenever we talk great. So whenever I mention Tom Brady, are you just going to play? Just
you betcha.
There you go. Whatever. It's whoever Carter deems the goat worthy.
When I think my goat.
When I think of goats, you know what I think of? Forest Hill, and how all those goats would eat up on the side of the hill. It's the only goats I've ever come across.
They are very good at that. They can eat anything. So you bring them in to like get rid of all the poisonous plants.
They can't get out. They get rid of the underbrush too. Yep. It's very flammable here. Yep, yeah, you see them all over the place.
You're thinking of the woolly weeders. It's actually a real company.
I love how you know that.
Do you own? Does your family own that company?
I thought that was a type of goat. I don't know what like that
I
was.
I know about it because the wineries do it a lot. That's how they weed out the vineyards.
Because of all this land you own in the Sierra Nevadas, you need them to go through and make sure it's not flammable, huh?
Those are Carter's goats.
He goes by Carter, but on the birth certificate, it's Cartier. By the way, tonight, 7 o'clock. Odyssey presents I'm Listening, a special broadcast event featuring some of the biggest names in music, news, and sports, some of the most respected mental health professionals. I'm Listening will be hosted by Carson Daly and spreads awareness about mental health and the message that talk saves lives. You are not alone. It's okay to not be okay. You can listen right here on 95.7 The Game, 7 o'clock tonight. For more information, visit imlistening.org. Always got love for Carson Daly. Shout out TRL, Total Request Live.
Did you watch him and Rory McIlroy? Because that was garbage.
I did not see that, but I'll be checking out I'm Listening tonight because that is for a good cause. That was the Fast Five brought to you by Xfinity. Introducing the 5-year price guarantee. One consistent internet price for the next 5 years. Guaranteed. Steiny and Goo next. Brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you. Here for good.
not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.